What are you packing? Over the years, as I've traveled to many countries in the world, I've learned to pack lighter and lighter. But that hasn't always been the case. Twice I remember traveling with a huge suitcase containing an enormous load of books. It was only later that I learned that I really didn't need all that reading material, nor, it seemed, did anyone else. That weight was really unnecessary. But books and other items are not the only things we may carry with us. The same is true of the emotional baggage we're lugging around as well. Social worker Carol Ward describes emotional baggage as all of the unresolved emotional issues, traumas, and stresses from the past or present that overwhelm us or affect the way we act or think about ourselves or others. One therapist explained, we're all carrying backpacks of baggage that we continually keep stuffing full until they can't zip up and stuff starts spilling out everywhere. Our relationships, says another, fills our backpack with the heaviest of stones and are often the hardest to empty out. Emotional baggage can even prevent us from making healthy lifestyle choices today, hindering us from stopping smoking, drinking, or eating, and even seeking help for these addictions. Participants in one study admitted that it was their emotional baggage from childhood that often caused them to be stuck in old, unwholesome habits, running from commitment, finding fault with others, and avoiding responsibilities. So how do we empty out our emotional backpacks in order to make better decisions today and face the future with more confidence? Although the world may have varying answers to this, as Christians, we know that our Heavenly Father has the perfect solution to all of life's needs. So let's look at some of the people in the Bible to give us a clue. Adam and Eve had no time to pack when they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, but it's likely they carried a backpack full of shame and guilt for their enforced exile. And although we don't hear directly from Adam, we do hear from Eve, who praised God for her children, first Cain, then Abel, and then Seth. And it's of Seth and his son Enosh that we read, "People first began to worship the Lord by name." And Seth is described as just like his father Adam in his very image. This seems to suggest that they were humbler, gentler people who loved and followed God. Abraham, on the other hand, was allowed to pack a great deal of baggage when he headed out under God's instruction. And although he packed loyalty, as we see his commitment to his nephew Lot, unfortunately he also packed deception, a sin he repeated and passed on to his descendants. Can you perhaps see any ungodly family traits that have passed down from generation to generation? Is there perhaps emotional or spiritual rocks that are packed in your baggage that you need to remove, both for yourself and future progeny? Although Joseph also had no time to pack anything on his unfortunate journey to Egypt, even his father's gift, the colorful coat, was ripped from his back. Nonetheless, he didn't carry with him the possible stones of bitterness, resentment, hatred, and revenge that he could have carried. Instead, he made sure that only forgiveness, kindness, and compassion were packed in his emotional sack. Similarly, Moses fled with nothing on his back after murdering the Egyptian soldier. But fortunately, he also removed pride from his sack, for it was pride that said, "I can free my people without God's help." Yet he still carried compassion and a brave yet humble heart, which would hold him in good stead as he led the grumbling Israelites to freedom. And what about the baggage of the Apostle John? For he and his brother James were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder by Jesus. That certainly doesn't sound like a quiet and gentle nature. In fact, we see that they wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn up unwelcoming villagers. And after Jesus taught about serving others, boldly asks for seats of honor next to Jesus when he came into his kingdom. There was nothing shy about these two men and what they felt they had the power to do and the positions to hold. But clearly John and his brother released these stones of pride following Jesus' death and resurrection, for they devotedly and humbly served, with John described as the disciple whom Jesus loved five times in Scripture, and he endured imprisonment on the Isle of Patmos, where he continued to disciple and lead the churches and even write the powerful prophetic book of Revelation. Thank God, John threw out the rocks of pride. What about us? What might we be carrying around with us? Us, either generational sins or childhood training or previous or present choices. Repeatedly, Scripture tells us to get rid of things that hinder us. Solomon, for one, writes that there is a time to keep and a time to throw away. We can see this action when Paul writes the Ephesians, telling them, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. He goes on to tell them to stop telling lies, quit stealing, and don't use foul or abusive language. He culminates this list by advising them to get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Do any of these qualities sound familiar? He gives similar instructions to the Colossians, telling them to put to death the sinful and earthly things lurking within you, naming sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires, and greed amongst them. He also advises them to get rid of that anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language and lying. Although my dad was a quiet and patient man, my mom was known for her anger, and this seems to be one of the things that I've packed inside as well. I may have learned over the years to not hold in my frustration with quiet coldness, but then this gives away to bursts of anger others can't understand, but I'm still trying to get rid of that anger-based thoughts and speech, for it doesn't accomplish God's goodness. Those are definitely rocks I want to throw away. Well, how does he tell us to do that? Paul explains you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Because we've been forgiven so much. How do we put on these clothes, you may ask? By putting on agape, God's love, and letting Christ's peace rule our hearts, and adding to this a continually thankful heart. If we let the message about Christ and all of its richness fill our lives, there won't be any place for the rocks from our past to fit in the pouches we carry. This seems to take us back to the fruit of the Spirit outlined in Galatians 5, but especially emphasizing the first three, love, joy, peace. For if they're doing the perfect work within us, there won't be any room for anything else to fill our hearts. We'll be letting the Holy Spirit direct our thoughts and guide our behavior. Doesn't that sound like the perfect solution? Surrender. Surrender those things you can't carry anymore. Surrender the rags from your past life that you weren't meant to be wearing anymore. Roll away the stone and come forth. Unwrap those grave clothes and be free. That's what Jesus has for us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Thus we can walk in this freedom, devoted to his word, and live as free people. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.